You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. The Literature Corner.
I'm very excited about today's Literature Corner because so many of you write to us and say, Eusebius, I have children and I would love to know where I can lay my hands on books, particularly in Indigenous languages. You'll remember as well the conversation around reading came up last week when we talked about how to raise boys differently. And there was a beautiful set of reflections from the men who took part in that conversation on what it is that reading did to us as children. So reading is very important. We need to improve our reading culture in the country, but also we need stories that are stories that reflect our own experiences, communities, and languages, very importantly. I know nothing about children's books other than what I read when I was a kid many, many moons ago when we still had four provinces. But actually, there is a lot going on, not enough perhaps, but more than we often pretend is the case. And I'm grateful that my producer actually found today's guest author and illustrator who writes books in Indigenous languages. They get translated as well. And he's been doing this since the early 90s, which is absolutely astonishing. So I hope you will listen closely. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a teacher with young ones, or even just a mentor, a sibling, then you definitely do not want to be going anywhere for the next 20 minutes or so. Themba Mabaso is an author and illustrator, and he's right here with me in the studio. Themba, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for hosting me.
Themba, I had no idea that a lot is written. I mean, there's a lot of books here. I'm going to take a couple of photos. I will tweet some of them for the listeners just to get a sense. But very often we have this assumption that even us who think we know things about book will say, yeah, there's just not enough stories in isiZulu for children. But it seems as if you have been doing this for a while. When did you start writing?
I started writing in 1994. That was when my first book came out. But the stories were with me in the last 10 years from then, because when I was at university, I had stories, but I thought that I have to complete my degree first before I publish, which I did once I completed. Mm. But I regretted wasting a lot of time, because I should have done it earlier than that.
Instead of worrying about your degree as a permission to write these stories.
Yeah, no, you can do it simultaneously too.
That's absolutely true. And what attracted you to children's books and stories and even getting into it?
Yeah, very interesting story. When I grew up, I noticed that when I was given a book, my first interest was the illustrations. I enjoyed illustrations. But those were the textbooks from schools. And I was lucky enough when my father moved to work for the sugar mill, Kola Matikulu. In that sugar mill, there was a library. And therefore, I immersed myself in the library. I read books. And I remember reading one book, and I promised myself to say, one day, I'm going to write my own books. Because whilst I was reading stories that were written in England, especially in America. Mm. There was a lot of other cultural issues that I couldn't understand or the context. They would be talking about the white Christmas, when my Christmas was very hot in KZN. Therefore, there were a lot of things that I couldn't understand, but I read nevertheless to open up my mind.
Sure.
Therefore, I made a vow to myself that one day I'll write a book that will also tell about the stories of the experiences that I had as a young person at the time.
That is absolutely stunning. And you're right, so many of us who grew up on children's books, we can only mention Enid Blyton, reading the famous Five, the Secret Seven. And you have these weird stories located in worlds very different to your own. The Magic Faraway Tree. Yes. And I'm glad we read them because we just need to get people reading, right? I mean, as adults, it's easier for us to critique some of those books. So I always say it's better to read anything while waiting for books that have characters and places that look like your own. But at the same time, why is it important, besides expanding your mind about stories located in England, why is it important, would you say, to be able to read your children books and stories that are in Indigenous languages and that have characters and names that sound and look like us? Why is that important?
It is very, very important for us to start that culture of reading for our young ones. I'll take the nursery rhymes. I remember when my daughter went to the nursery school living in the suburbs. She came back reciting a nursery rhyme in English. And it hit me because I grew up with a lot of nursery rhyme. But the problem is for parents to locate books that will remind them and to read with their young ones, you do not find them.
Mm.
And therefore, it made an interest to me to say, I must write the Nesara rhyme in Sizulu. I started to do that, and I recited with her. But what is very important with them is that it becomes a bonding time where you've got a quality time with your child. You learn a lot, you exchange things. You also understand your child and their own interest. But what is also very important is that when you are reading, you share even the page layout, which people may not be aware of, that something that makes you to converse. You look at the photographs, the illustrations, you explore them. It's for fun. You also look at the text. But what is very important is the issue of language impartation. We have to really make sure that we impact the culture that comes with the language, because there's a lot that one can learn from there. There are a lot of things that encash in the language.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the stories. What was the first story or the series you created? Was it Gimba?
Yeah, the first one was Gimba. Gimba is a story about the taxi. What inspired me there was that when I wanted to write about a character that local children will identify with. There are a lot of characters that are there, but a taxi, you'll find it in the urban areas, you'll find it in the rural areas. It becomes part of our fabric of life. Therefore, we had a lot of experiences with them. I myself went through that. And when I was in one taxi, we were squeezing that taxi. That's when I realized that this character is really growing up in me. Therefore, I have to name the character Gimba.
And you called the character Gimba, presumably because if you are squeezed into the taxis, it's a sign of the greed of the taxi as well.
Yes, yeah. Gimba is a person who's just taking everything. Yeah. Therefore, I gave it that name.
I love it. That's so creative. I always think about Gimba when I'm busy having my second plate of food. But you're right. There's no reason why we can't also give these human traits to some of these objects in our lives that are so ubiquitous, because taxis are everywhere. And they are Gimbas. They are totally. They're no different to me and Oluwazi.
Yes. Yes. Therefore, the whole idea was to have a series of the stories. Therefore, Gimba the Greedy Taxi was the first one that I published.
Mm.
And since then, I've done a number of them. But the one that is also out is Gimba and the Wheel.
Okay. Now, we're using English titles here, but you actually have these in many languages.
Yes.
When you write the stories about Gimba the Greedy Taxi, you write it in?
In Isizulu. And then I start in Isizulu. Right.
So what's the title in isiZulu of the series?
Ugimba Nesondo is the second one, and Ugimba Itekisi Elingumagimbela is Gimba the Greedy Taxi. There is also Gimba Wants to Fly, Ugimba Ufuna Ukundiza. It will be a taxi there who is struck in a traffic jam, and he sees aeroplane just zooming up and down, and he wishes to be an aeroplane so that he can travel like that.
I love it. Therefore, let's take a quick break here and then see whether we can actually get you to read some of this. I'm just mesmerized by what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I think as adults also, we often just forget the beauty of childhood stories and characters and just a range of imaginative devices that you have to use when writing for children. I want to come back to that, and I wonder what it's like as an adult writing for children. 17 minutes after 11, this is the fascinating story of author, illustrator, and entrepreneur Themba Mabaso, who has been writing children's books and illustrating them in indigenous languages since 1994. So you can't say these don't exist. We will, of course, before we end the conversation, ask him how you might get your hands on these so you can begin to read to the little ones in your life as well.
702 and Cape Talk, the Literature Corner.
21 minutes after 11, fascinating. We have author and illustrator Themba Mabaso, and some of these illustrations are just amazing. The colors, the characters, and his work is also translated, although he writes in isiZulu. And there's one also forthcoming in Afrikaans here. In fact, two of them, Gimba Ndivile. Gimba is the taxi series, the Greedy Taxi, and Pasob Hasi. And I just love these illustrations. They're so fascinating. They make me wish that I have kids that I can actually go and read to Themba. Shall we illustrate, pardon the pun, for our listeners, what would you read from? Because I know there are nursery rhymes, there are also stories. There's the famous Gimba series.
Mm.
What are you going to read from as an example?
Okay, let me start with the nursery rhyme, and then I'll also read one extract from the Gimba, the first one.
Okay.
All right. The first rhyme that I'd like to read is Infenemtini. Nansi mfene mthini, nansi mfene mthini, iyazi qhenya amazinywana, izihewana, ye 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 ye, Yeah. Hosuga. That's how it's done. Therefore, whenever you see it, there are a lot of activities. He's talk about the monkey. Imfene is the papon in the tree and how it is like itself. And it shows on the teeth, but some of the teeth are not really in good condition. But this is how it is. And then it shows, it's when it's like breaking.
Mm.
And that's how it ends.
I love that.
Goes with it.
So there's rhymes, there's a bit of singing, there's activity to get in with the kids. So, you know, there's a lot one can do there theatrically as well. That's fantastic.
The second one would be also short, but it's about now teaching young ones about the activity, standing up and sitting down. It says in Yoni, we are the birds. Sizinyoni tina sizinyoni, sizinyoni tina sizinyoni, siyasuka siyahlala sizinyoni, siyasuka siyahlala sizinyoni. Therefore, the illustration also demonstrates that there are birds flying and there are birds sitting down. Mm. It's about the action. These are the action rhyme. Then I'll go to Kimba the Great Taxi. Kimba itigeselung makimbela. Then would you like me to read it in Zulu or in English?
Yeah, no, do it in Zulu.
In Zulu. Okay. Ukimba kwakuyitekisana elibomvu laliphanga. Wayehlala egalaji lomuzi enezitini eziphuzi. Oh, lwaze lwaluhle usuku. Nginethemba lokuthi ngizothola abagibeli abaningi namuhla. Washo ugimba ikhuluma wayeda ezamula abuya azelule. Kwathi angangena emgwaqeni wagijima ngesivinini esikhulu. Wagijima waze wahlangana nequlu labantu eduzana nomgwaqo. Ukhona ufuna ukuya edolobheni, esho ememeza. Sonke siya edolobheni, kuphendula abantu. Ugimba wama, baqala abantu ukugibela, kodwa babe baningi kakhulu. Omunye umame akayitholanga indawo yokuhlala. Sheshisa, ngena ngaphakathi, kuthetha ugimba. Angiyitholi indawo yokuhlala, kusho umama. Ugimba wavala amehlo akhe, wadonsa umoya wazifutha, wabuya wadonsa umoya futhi ezifutha ekhanula. Makhathaleni, wanwebeka kwavuleka indawana yokuthi umama ahlale. We'll stop it there.
I have no idea what you said, but it sounded very cool to know. Would you read that to little kids in your life? You have no clue. Oh, wow. Jeez. Don't tell Lumka Olifant you don't speak isiZulu.
That is a special version of that too.
Okay, so what languages are they translated in? Because I've got a lovely Afrikaans one here. Yes. I must say, quite apart from the stories and the singing, which can get the kids involved.
Yes.
You are a very good illustrator.
Thank you.
I mean, this Hasi character in the forthcoming Afrikaans, pas op Hasi. Yendag le haas lekker onder a papaya boom en slaap. Skillik val a papaya doof uit die boom uit and I hoor a deep stem wat sê, pas op haas! Wait, I could voice it, couldn't
I? I think you can.
But your illustrations are just so absolutely gorgeous. You know, that's really stunning.
Yeah.
So you've got a range of skills that come together here, which very few authors have. You are an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You are an illustrator.
Yes.
You are also into the stories themselves.
Yes.
And which is a very different topic we could have also had him on, Olwazi, which is that something you spoke to me before the show, which is the integrity of translation.
Yes.
I mean, you don't necessarily speak the other languages as fluently, while you certainly do, but I know the Afrikaans wasn't translated by you.
No.
How do you go about as an author keeping with the translation? Because I have one book translated into Afrikaans, and I have to confess, I haven't read one page. I simply deferred to the authority of a translator after knowing that someone else who had used their services is someone that I trust.
Sure. Yeah.
But you were talking to me about the importance of the integrity of the story in translation. Let's talk quickly about that.
Yes, it's very, very important, especially that it goes with illustrations. Some of the things you do not say that are said by the illustrations. And therefore, when you translate it, you have to make sure that the translator is workshopped so they understand the nuances of the story, both culturally and otherwise. And also there are some sounds that the characters are making. Of course, they may not be in that particular language, but we have to make sure that whatever translation there it is done into, people will understand what that sound means. And it must be also be very attractive and palatable in the ears when it is sung, because a lot of these books are read aloud.
Mm.
And therefore, it takes some time just to make sure that the translator understands where you are coming from.
Mm.
Therefore, I usually will give them the Zulu one to look at it, the English one, but every time we'll be communicating to make sure that we are in the same
that's so fascinating. So you don't just hand over the isiZulu and hope that this person will get it right.
Yes, and lucky enough they are not too long, the books.
Yeah.
They are shorter.
Mm.
maybe yours is a lot of pages that it can take
and
you.
I'm not about to check every page for their translation, even though Afrikaans is, in my case, my mother tongue. I still didn't stay involved. But you're right, because the tone, the sense, all of those are very nuanced things that you need to preserve in the translation process.
Yes.
Here's a couple of tweets coming through, people loving this. And you are also jigging people's memories of their own nursery rhymes and things that they had learned. Kanye says in substandard A and B, you're taking her back there. She's in Yoni Tina, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And then Tandi Klasa says, no, no, you and Temba, you CBS, you're making me all broody now. The story makes me want to read to a little one. Yeah, me too, Tandi. Maybe you and I can get together and make a plan. We can have little ones.
Yeah.
The illustrations, how did you get into that? Were you just always very good at illustrating, or when you wanted to write stories that are culturally local, that you feel that the role of illustrator is one that you need to also learn, or were you all also very artistic and it was just a handsome skill that could complement the writing of the stories?
No, I studied fine art.
Okay.
Therefore, my specialization was painting. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you do fine art, you do drawing. But it's fine art is a little bit specialized because you do what you want, you express yourself. Therefore, I had to teach myself the illustration part because it's another line within the art section. I made sure, because I read a lot of books, I had to study and make sure that I understand the whole essence of illustration. Then I did. I had some trials before, and then I've resolved into developing my skills in that part. Therefore, I have a degree in fine art for me to be able to draw and paint.
What about stories that are passed down orally? Where do your stories come from, by the way? I mean, you know, what are these all original stories? Are you also interested in writing down stories in our oral tradition so that they can live on also in book form?
Yeah. The nursery rhymes are mostly oral. Because some of your listeners will remember that they used to sing this, but there was no book that they referred it to. They were passed from one generation to another. We know them. But I felt that we are losing them. Because even when I was writing this book, I had to do a lot of research to remind myself of when they are, and also to check with my friends and to try to get information. And I hope that by putting them in this book format, now they are being preserved for the future generations. And therefore, my stories are coming from the oral tradition, and some of them I have to invent anew so that they are irrelevant. Therefore, I combine the two.
That's fantastic. $1 million question. How can we get our hands on these? I can tell you there are many people, I'll just look on my Twitter timeline, who are fascinated, and we are desperate, desperate, desperate to find stuff that speak to our realities, such as Gimba.
Yeah. We have a website where people can log in and also order from there. We really dispatch book to the people, to our clients, and a lot of them have got them that way. But what I like is that they usually also come back and tell us, show us the photos of themselves reading with their children, and they are always happy about them. And the website is www.jabulopublishers.com.
.com or .co.za?
.co.za, sorry.
Okay, so it's www.jabulopublishers.com. Publishers.co.za. I'm also going to tweet that as well.
Yes.
Let me see if I can squeeze a final question in here, just for 30 minutes. Sometimes as adults, one of the most tragic things, Temba, as I'm sure you will agree, although maybe it doesn't apply to you, but it applies to me, is that we grow up, and that can be tragic. How do you get yourself to write for children? Because children's imaginations are sometimes better than ours as adults. We become less imaginative as adults. I mean, who would have thought that you can create a taxi character and call it Gimba as an adult?
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good question, because people look at the children's book and see that there are 32 pages and think it's easy to write. It's not. It's difficult. But how I make sure that I'm in line, I read a lot of books. I go to the library. I'll go to the children's section. I read. I go to any bookshop. You'll find me in the aisle where there are children's books. Therefore, I've got a huge library in my house, which I call it a reference library, where I will always sharpen myself by reading those books to be up to date with what is happening. Even the international books I've got.
That's so it's extremely hard work. Because some of us think if you write 300 pages, it's harder than 30 pages. But you're right. There's a lot of creativity that goes into it. I hope we have you back on the show to talk about this. Mm. I hope our other good friend of literature in this country, Eleanor Sisulu, is listening. She's always trying to get me to you know, feature children's novels and books, which we don't do enough on shows that focus on books. So it's not going to be once off. We'll have you back again. But thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.